You're listening to Lead On with Greg and Mark, brought to you by the Pennsylvania Association of Intermediate Units. Join us this season as we engage in conversations on leading on through times of complexity. Now for your hosts, Greg and Mark.
Yowzas. I love that theme song.
Well, you're singing along. You got a little...
I got a little beatbox. I think it's a dying art.
The beatbox? I saw on Instagram a guy that uses like a straw.
A straw.
A soft drink, like, you know, McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah.
And he uses the straw to create the beatbox effect.
Did you ever take a straw and like roll it up and snap it?
And then it pops?
And then it pops. The McDonald's straws were the best for that.
Yeah, and then of course you did like the straw as like a spitball cannon.
I've done that too, but with ice, because then the evidence melts.
The evidence. So you're shooting ice through the straw?
I did that as a kid.
So it's ice that you've chewed up between your teeth.
Yep.
And then chewed up ice.
Yeah.
It's been in your mouth, but covered in evidence, your saliva.
The evidence disappears. So listen, when I'm walking in your office today, I'm on the phone, and Mark thought I was like, he's like, are you on with your wife? I'm like, no, I'm on with my iPlace. Yeah. So it was pretty funny. So I called this morning, and I guess it was too early to pay this bill to get my contacts. So I paid through like some kind of a payment company that deals with what my company is Northeastern Eye Institute kind of thing. So I called in with my local place just to verify it. Uh-huh. And I'm talking to this guy and I'm like, it's Gregory Coons with a K.
Okay.
And he's like, okay, all right, Greg, you know, you're not here in the system. And he goes, what's your birth date? Gave my birth date and stuff. And I said, listen, I think it's a problem with your system. I think there's something going on because I paid it to this company. I have the email receipt. I said, it says right here, Northeastern Eye Institute. And he said, we're Crystal Vision.
Oh, nice.
So I called the wrong place. I Googled wrong. I gaggled wrong. So anyway, I end up calling the local place, and that's why I was laughing when I showed up.
I don't even know where to go with that.
I know. But anyway, like it was just when you're on with your wife. No, I'm on with, you know,
the eye doctor.
And I said, my eyes, thank you. That was my parting words for Jordan, who helped me. Thank you, Jordan, who helped me with my contacts.
My eyes, thank you. The eyes have it.
Yeah, the eyes have it.
So Greg's here in Bucks County, and we just did a little mini walk around the intermediate unit. People like to see you.
I am getting roasted by everybody.
Yeah, so the minute he walks into the back room, we've got some folks working. She's to innovate PA and get, what did she say? What did Denise say?
And fail miserably or something.
Fail miserably. Television show theme song recognition. Yes.
Yeah, I was just getting burned left and right. I think Mark set these all up.
I did not set them up. No. I encouraged them, but I did not necessarily orchestrate.
I'm just glad people are listening. Well, I gotta be honest.
And they obviously believe that you're approachable if they're just roasting you.
Yeah.
Not even on your home turf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm already vulnerable.
Yeah. So a lot of feedback on those TV show theme songs.
Small Wonder.
Small Wonder is probably the most divisive of the 12 shows that we went through. Either have heard of it and loved it, or don't even know anything about it.
I think it's generational. So I just turned 48. You're what now?
I'm going to be 45. So I call Party Foul. I don't think it was generational. We're the same generation.
Maybe it's just, maybe in that 3 years, I was watching cooler shows, maybe.
Cooler shows. You have a more sophisticated taste.
I have a more sophisticated palate.
Yeah. 8-year-old Greg was a little bit watching, more.
You know, shows about, you know, Cheers and
drinking.
Exactly.
Very good.
So the gauntlet. Well, this is my segue.
Go ahead.
The gauntlet has been thrown, and I have a challenge for you, Dr. Mark Hoffman.
If I get knocked down, I will get back up.
Okay, so I have 12, but we're going to do 4 in each episode as we go through. So this kicks them off with the challenge.
All right, so you got 4?
There are 4, and they're, I'll tell you, they're 80s movie quotes. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say the quote.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you
and
the
then
movie?
You have to tell me the movie. And you get extra points if you can say who the character was.
All right. I like this.
You like it?
This will expose not only similar to the TV shows, like what I watched versus what you watched. This will expose any differences. Like the things that you believe to be so obvious that I don't get. It'll be fascinating, similar to the TV show. So
exactly.
The challenge is accepted.
Okay, here we go.
All right, go ahead. Number one.
First one. She gave me a pen. I gave her my heart, and she gave me a pen.
You could say anything, Greg.
Oh.
And I would get that right.
What was his name?
Lloyd.
He was the key master.
Yeah, right.
Lloyd.
It starts with an M. Lloyd.
But you get extra credit for that. It's Lloyd Dobler.
Lloyd Dobler. Yeah. I was thinking of Lane Meyer, but Lloyd Dobler.
Right,
but
one
I can't say anything.
He's one for one, listeners.
All right, come on all now. Right.
Next one. This is really easy, but it's
don't
one of
say
my
it's
favorites.
Easy.
It is.
It could be. Now I get it wrong.
I'll be disappointed. Okay.
I don't want to disappoint you.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Prepare to die. The Princess Bride.
Yes. And you know who said it?
Inigo Montoya. Played by Mandy Patinkin.
I had this ongoing conversation with Maria, with my wife. She didn't know that he's now in a crime show.
Sure, he's in a lot of TV
shows. A lot of stuff. And I'm like, that's the same guy. That's Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it isn't. Like,
100%.
Yeah. I showed her to Wikipedia on him.
All right.
All right,
go ahead.
He is two for two.
Oh, thank God. At least I can show my face.
Okay. These get tougher.
Oh, God.
If you hit the wrong note, we'll all be flat.
That's the Goonies.
That's amazing that you knew that one.
They're playing
I had two other backups for you. It is. They're playing that.
Andy's playing the piano.
Yes.
Yeah. And the rocks are falling with every wrong note.
Rocks are falling. Yep.
She said, is that a B flat? And he says, if you get the wrong note, well, I'll be flat. Mikey says
that's it. That's what he says. And then there's two other quotes from this movie.
Go ahead. Give me more.
I just like them.
Go ahead.
There are somebody else's wishes. There are somebody else's dreams.
I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back.
Yes, that's it. I'm taking them all back.
And he goes, Martin Sheen, he played Kennedy once.
And then this was
that
my,
they're at the bottom of the well.
And then this was my favorite character.
Go ahead.
He says, mm-hmm. I love the dark, but I hate nature.
I love the dark, but I hate nature.
And I'll give you a hint.
Is it one of the Fratellis?
It's not one of them.
I don't know.
It was the one who did the dance.
Oh, okay. Chunk.
The truffle shuffle. Chunk.
I don't remember that.
The truffle shuffle.
When does he say, I hate the dark?
I have to look it up. But
is that when he goes on the highway and the Fratellis pick him up hitchhiking?
It might have been.
Or does he get stuck in the freezer
with
ice cream?
I like when he's going off about all the ice cream. That is so funny. And the worst part.
Rocky Road.
And the worst part.
I like you tell the story about his sister.
I made this sound. All right. Here's the fourth and final one.
Go ahead.
This is very, if you know this, buddy, I'm going to be very impressed.
Oh, my God, I'm nervous.
I put this on because this is one of my favorites.
Go
it takes
ahead.
Me way back. Special K. Any good dancer has a street name.
Special K.
Special K.
Any good dancer
has a street name. Now, this might show the difference in those 3 years with you and me.
Man, Circle K was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
But Special K. I'm thinking of what movie has a character with a K?
Well, your hint here is dancer.
Dancer.
And any good dancer has a street name.
Oh, is this Breakin'?
It's Breakin'.
Sweet.
You are four for four, my friend.
All right,
nice. And Mark put me to shame on that. But I have stories about breakdancing.
I want to hear.
So we used to, and we were
big. Are you disappointed I was four for four?
No, I just feel, I have more. Just wait. I have more. I'm not disappointed. I gave you hints.
I love breaking. I like with the brooms.
Right. With the brooms. Turbo. Yeah,
turbo.
It was Turbo and Ozone. That was an Ozone, he said to Special K.
Love it.
I think her name was Kelly. So
well
Special
done.
K.
Those are good selections, by the way. All so, fantastic
yeah.
movies.
Yeah. So
your breakdance.
So my breakdance story. So we used to actually have like my parents were sitting in the living room and mm-hmm. then we'd have neighbors, parents showing up and we would put on a breakdance routine.
Oh, no.
And we'd appear from like under the stairs in the one room. This is in the house where we live now.
Yeah.
So we'd go out there and I would do the worm. That was my signature move.
Oh
I can't
God.
Do it anymore because it's not comfortable, but I used to be able to do the worm.
I tried to do the worm for my brother at one time and I failed miserably. I forgot to put my arms out. So I just pretty much just like smashed my face into the floor and he has not forgotten it to this day.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's a point
of
contention.
It's good. And what was this called with the arms?
I don't know. That's just sort of like a ripple.
I remember it's like a kick and
like
lock
a wave or, almost.
Yeah, something. But anyway, Maria's good at that. She for a biology class, she does that as, you know, with some kind of lesson.
I like it.
So it's pretty cool.
Kinesthetic learners.
You got it.
Thank you for the challenge.
Yes.
I'm glad to have met the challenge.
Oh, you did remarkably.
Well, and as did you when we got towards the TV shows that you knew, right?
Like it, oh, I actually knew.
You either know like, it or you don't, right?
The
These are things, the cool TV shows.
Well, all right.
You sent me something called 10 Lessons from, quote, That Sucked, Now What?
Yeah.
How to Embrace the Joy.
That Sucked, Now What?
There we go.
I mean, we have those times in life, right? Where it just went terrible.
How to Embrace the Joy in Chaos and Find the Magic in the Mess. This is by who, sir?
This is by Dr. Nita Bhushans.
I think it's Nita Bhushan.
Nita Bhushan.
There you go.
Dr. Nita Bhushan.
And she said, that sucked. Now what? This offers a relatable and empowering guide to navigating life's challenges. Here are 10 key lessons you can learn when something goes sideways, right?
Yes. So number one is reframe your perspective.
That's always a big thing, reframing.
It is.
Not only like reframing negativity into something positive, but like this is like in every challenge, there's an opportunity.
Yes.
When one door closes, another opens. When one window closes, another opens.
It's your outlook on the situation.
This is a first order problem. Let's reframe it as a second order problem. Second order problem. Let's reframe it as a series of first order problems. Yeah. I like that. What's number two?
Yeah, and she says,
oh, sorry.
See sucky situations as stepping stones, not roadblocks.
Yeah.
So very similar to what we've talked about.
Yeah. Right? You fall down, you get back up.
That's right.
Check out a couple podcasts ago where we talk about resilience and perseverance.
That's right. The next is embrace your vulnerability. So we've talked about this a little bit too, but keep yourself open to things. Try things that are out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, vulnerability is not a weakness. She says it's a strength in disguise, vulnerability. We've talked about this too. Authentic leadership requires that the leader not only be authentic to be redundant, but vulnerable, being willing to say, hey, guys, I screwed that up, or I don't know what to do, or coming to your boss and saying, hey, boss, I don't know what to do. The vulnerability of putting yourself out there, I think, makes you relatable.
Yes, sure does.
If you work or live, you know, in a safe environment where there's, quote, psychological safety, right?
That's it.
Where you're not going to be punished, ridiculed, or ostracized or criticized for being vulnerable. So being vulnerable is great advice, but it only works if you are in a system or an environment that allows it.
So you need to, we talked about modeling it.
Of course.
And and they need to see it in action and know that it's okay, that they're not going to get in trouble or get scolded because they, you know, they messed up.
Yeah. And it's not only that person, right? Everybody's watching how you react as the boss to other people's vulnerability.
Yes. They're always watching.
Right. So if they see that it's a safe environment for someone else to have been vulnerable, then they're more likely to be vulnerable themselves.
Couldn't agree more.
All right. Number three is build your resilience.
Yep. So they said challenges are inevitable, but your ability to bounce back is crucial. Developing coping mechanisms like meditation, exercise, and positive self-talk to strengthen your resilience muscle.
It's just like working out, right? You want to strengthen your bicep. You lift weights that focus on your bicep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You want to run a mile. You got to start with probably a couple hundred yards.
That's right. And like,
a couple hundred feet and then a couple, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like small steps.
Yeah.
Small gains. With this, New Year's resolution, I mean, this comes into play this month of January. I mean, everybody signs up for gym memberships, you know, but you got to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I like that. Yep.
All right. The next, this has been said so many times in these lists. Celebrate small wins.
Don't wait for grand achievements to celebrate, recognize, and appreciate your progress.
I like this one. Find the humor in the mess.
Yeah, you excel at that.
Does that mean I make a lot of messes then?
No, you excel in finding humor in the messes that are inevitable, my friend.
Yeah, like ordering contacts. You know?
Yeah, though sometimes I think some people are put off by laughter and humor.
They are.
If it's not appropriate, this is... Right, and it, you know, sometimes just to break the ice, right, or to set a tone that maybe this isn't as drastic as it is, or if it is drastic, like we got to reset here.
That's it. Yeah.
Let's reset.
Yeah,
practice gratitude, my friend.
So even in the midst of chaos, there are things to be grateful for. Focus on the blessings, big and small, to cultivate a positive outlook and attract more good into your life. So that's all about putting that, you know, just the good gratitude journal we've heard about.
Thank you notes.
And by the way, I have been keeping the journal.
How's it going?
On things. I see the more I stick to it, the more positive things are happening.
And also you're building your resilience.
Building my resilience, more productive.
Right. So. I mean, you're practicing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm struggling with not the gratitude journal. I think I'm good at that. I write a lot of thank you notes.
Yes.
Handwritten thank you notes. But what I'm struggling with is the regularity and frequency of honoring the time for the journaling. So I appreciate you telling me that you're succeeding because that motivates me to then continue to try.
Yeah, even if it's every other night, but I am sticking to
it. How long are you writing for?
So it's the big nights are the Sundays before the week starts.
What are you writing about? I mean, specifically, but like, what are your themes?
So there's two. Personal, like I've really been trying to get the fitness thing going. Like I've always been good with 3 days a week with running and everything, but just there's that personal piece. And then with professional, I'm looking at the goals for the week and I'm doing what your friend recommended at the end of the week. Mm. Then I look back at it. So I would say the most important time is that those Sundays for me.
Are you actually writing while you reflect or are you just reflecting?
I'm writing while I'm reflecting.
Are you typing or handwriting?
Handwriting.
Nice.
In an old journal just by my bedside.
Nice. Good for you. All right. You've motivated me to try
school.
Again.
Kicking it old school, Mark.
All right. Number seven, sir.
Okay. Number seven. I like this. Connect with your inner power. So it says, tap into your inner strength and wisdom. Believe in your ability to overcome obstacles and find your own unique way through life's challenges.
Self-confidence.
Yes.
I think that's probably summarized in the words self-confidence.
I would agree. I think those two words summarize it all.
There we go. Seek support and build community.
Okay. You don't have to go through this alone. Oh, don't we know that? Surround yourself with supportive people who uplift and encourage you. Build a community where you can share your struggles and celebrate your triumphs.
And that doesn't just happen by accident. There's actually, if you Google this, if you're an adult like we are, it's difficult sometimes to make new friends, especially outside of a work context. And there's a few articles that have been out right now specific to happiness for adults. And the more friends that an adult has, particularly men who struggle sometimes to keep friends in adulthood or to make friends in adulthood outside of work or outside of family, they're happier and they live longer. And so there's some strategies for what you can do to put yourself in a position where you're actually going to find people and meet people in a way that is authentic and sincere. And then also the intentionality that's required to keep a friendship going as an adult, right? It's a lot different when you're going to school every day and your friends are the people you see in your class or in your school. As an adult, right? Like the tips and strategies that are required essentially to maintain that friendship.
I really like that, Mark. And it got me thinking too, is that we're coming up on our 30th high school reunion.
Yeah, you're old.
Yeah, that was a 1994 graduate. So we're trying to plan something with all our grade school friends to hang out over the summer.
That's fun. Yeah. You could do it, you know, you live in your childhood home.
Yeah, so we were thinking of renting the place next door.
That's perfect.
And then use the two houses and I have a, you know, motorboat now. So
sweet.
You can go out and go tubing and stuff. So that's what we were thinking.
Love it.
So that's, I do see that, like strength in having that community of friends, right?
It requires intentionality, and they actually counter it with social media and how social media makes us miserable. There's 1,000 articles out there about that, but that your Facebook friends don't necessarily constitute real friends. You might have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but how many of those people do you actually have the phone number for? Or would you reach out to, or would you go meet for coffee, or could you send, you know, a funny meme to, or however you define, you know, maintaining your friendship?
Yeah,
good. Number nine, redefining success. Move beyond conventional measures of success. In other words, define success as it means to you as opposed to what it means by other people. I think of this as intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation.
Yeah.
Be motivated by the things that you value rather than the things that others value.
I agree. And I like that what she says here. Find joy in the journey, not just the destination.
Yeah, the journey is the destination in many ways, right?
Yeah, and that's where we learn.
Yeah, so even if the outcome sucks, right, to use this author's analogy, it doesn't mean that the road that got you to the failure, let's say,
right,
was a series of failures. It could have been a series of successes.
Yeah, I saw a really good picture of what a leadership journey really looks like. They had the first one, what you think it is, with one point A, point B, straight line.
Yeah.
Then they had the real leadership journey at point A, point B, and it's like a squiggly line going all the way across.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
You know, this reminds me of job interviews. Someone might apply for a job, right? And they ultimately might not get it. And they say, you know, after 3-4 rounds of interviews, they don't get it. I say, that sucks, right? Use this author's analogy again.
Yeah.
But I like this in the sense that the journey of the job interview might actually have been something that was necessary for the person or something that was generative or meaningful for the person. That preparing for the interview, all the things they had to do, the research, all of that is positive. Now, the outcome might be that they didn't get the job that they were pursuing. And that's an entirely reasonable attitude to have. Gosh, that stinks. That sucks, right?
Yeah.
But think of all of the skills that they developed, refined, and all the self-improvement they've created by going through that, how much better they are as a person, even though the outcome wasn't what they wanted. The journey that led to an otherwise undesirable outcome is rather positive, actually.
I'm with you. I love that because they, you know, they learn so much from those steps leading up to that. And just because you're not selected, it could be for so many different reasons that you weren't selected, right?
Sure.
You might not be the right fit for that organization or district or whatever it may be, or position.
But you're so much better because you went through the process that you put yourself out there. What's the last one?
The last one is embrace the suck as a catalyst for growth.
I feel like that's what we just said.
It is. I think this sums it all up. Challenges and setbacks are opportunities for growth. Every, quote, that sucked, unquote, moment teaches you valuable lessons and shapes you into a stronger, more resilient person.
Yeah, that synthesizes everything that we just said.
Yeah,
sure. So this is Dr. Nita Bhushan, or Bhushan, whatever. You can Google her and you can find the 10 lessons from, quote, that sucked. Now what? How to embrace the joy in chaos and how to find magic in the mess. Thanks for sharing this one, my friend.
You are welcome.
Thanks for the challenge.
You're welcome. It will continue.
It will continue. Listeners, I hope you're playing along.
Yes, I think I may stump you on two of these.
I can't wait. I want to be stumped. All right, Greg, what do you say we wrap this one up?
All right, let's wrap it up. Listeners, let's make it a great day. And let's what?
Innovate PA.
That's right. All right, here we go.
Peace and love.